Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS, the Greater Lansing Network Against War and Injustice, holding a rally saying that, they're alarmed about, quote, the growing hateful rhetoric against Muslims and Syrian refugees. Is that really what's happening? Let's talk to Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, jihadwatch.org. Robert, great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, and I guess this is, you know, that backlash to the San Bernardino shooting. One of the imams here in Lansing was there. He said, quote, in these difficult times when hatred, bigotry, racism, and violence are trying to rule our planet. How much of that is really out there against Muslims right now?
Very little, actually, and that's a good thing. FBI statistics show that anti-Semitic hate crimes are 8 times more common than hate crimes against Muslims. And the idea that Muslims are subjected to some sort of large-scale persecution is just a hysterical distortion and falsehood that is designed to deflect attention away from the grim reality of jihad terror attacks such as what we saw in San Bernardino.
Yeah. Well, what have you made so far of the way the country's reacted to that mass shooting?
Well, I think it's the same thing that we always see, that our leaders seem more intent on making sure that we don't think that it has anything to do with Islam than they are intent on making sure that it doesn't happen again. And the denial is nearly complete. I mean, Obama said just yesterday that fears that jihadis could come into the United States along with the refugees are unfounded. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really wild thing to say after Tashfeen Malik, one of the shooters in San Bernardino, actually passed background checks from 5 different agencies of the United States government, showing that all this vetting that they're promising to do to the refugees is completely useless. They can't vet for jihadis. They don't even admit that there are jihadis. They talk about violent extremists and so on and ignore their ideology. So how can they vet for it?
Yeah, how can we? I mean, if there are so many Muslims, certainly many U.S. citizens who are Muslim, how do you actually identify those that are likely to or might be violent?
There's absolutely no way. And I think the Obama administration has to know that there's absolutely no way and that they're endangering American people as a result by bringing in hundreds of thousands of refugees, among whom there are certain to be jihadis. The Islamic State has said that they're going to embed jihadis among the refugees, and we simply can't tell where they are.
When you say there's no way, well, I mean, where does that leave us in fighting this, you know, this war against Islamic extremism?
Well, we ought to be dealing with it much more realistically than we are now. There are plenty of things that we could do if we had the will to do them. And one of the things would be, for example, to call upon American Muslim advocacy groups to back up their condemnations of the Islamic State with real action against it, to institute programs in American mosques and Islamic schools that actually teach against the understanding of Islam represented by the Islamic State.
So wait, are you
There's
saying
not a
that
program like of that kind now?
What are they teaching at American mosques right now?
Well, actually, 4 separate and independent studies conducted since 1998, one of them by a Muslim cleric, have found that 80% of mosques in the United States are teaching hatred of Jews and Christians and the necessity ultimately to replace the U.S. Constitution with Islamic law. So here again, we have another source of radicalization that's simply being ignored by authority.
80% of mosques do this. You're saying so? Is that includes mosques in Michigan also?
Oh yeah, absolutely, no doubt about that.
Okay, so what's the approach then to confronting that? I mean, is there any effort made to change that?
No effort has been made whatsoever. No acknowledgement of these surveys has ever been made by the United States government, even though the first of them was conducted by a Muslim cleric who testified at a State Department open forum about his findings after he had visited personally 114 mosques all over the country.
But what do you mean? They're teaching hatred of Christians and Jews. How so, though?
Teaching that Jews and Christians are vile animals, which is what the Quran says, for refusing to accept Muhammad and Islam. And the Quran also says that Muhammad is the apostle of Allah. Those who follow him are merciful to one another, but harsh or ruthless to the unbelievers. This is the kind of thing that's being taught in the mosques in the United States.
Okay. Now, what about the actual actions we're seeing taken and we saw in San Bernardino? How does that, is that somehow being discouraged, acting out this way?
Well, look, I'll put it to you this way. Saeed Rizwan Farooq, one of the shooters in San Bernardino, was very active in his local mosque. Now, are we supposed to believe that he was believing in a form of Islam that was contradicted directly by what he was hearing regularly at his mosque. It seems very unlikely. It's much more likely that what he heard at his mosque only confirmed him in the idea that this was a good and virtuous thing to do, to kill all these infidels.
Yeah, but I mean, for the majority of Muslims in the U.S., why would they not want to stop this? I mean, would they not act out or say something to stop this from happening, especially when it can, you know, jeopardize their community?
Well, one of the problems that we have in that regard is that there's a death penalty in Islam for those who are considered heretics and apostates. And so these people, moderate Muslims, know that if they speak out too strongly, they themselves could be victimized.
Well, are you talking about here in the U.S.?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, for example, we saw Muslims Against ISIS rally in Toronto, which, of course, I understand is not in the U.S., but mm-hmm. is nearby. And it was last summer, and only 50 Muslims showed up. More Muslims don't stand up against this kind of thing because they know that if they do, they themselves could be victimized.
By fellow American or Canadian Muslims, you're saying?
Yes, yes. Take, for example, the imam in Texas, who was speaking out and said that Trump was right, that there ought to be a moratorium, at least, on the Muslims coming into the United States until the United States authorities could identify jihadis among them. Mm-hmm. And he was removed from his position at his mosque.
Talking to Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, what's ahead then for jihad? I mean, we see these attacks, right, and then there's a lull, and then maybe 3, 4, 5 months later, another one. How does this thing progress?
Well, it's just you notice that they're getting more and more frequent. That first, you know, there was 9/11, of course, and then the attacks in Spain in 2004 and London in 2005. And now we have the Paris attacks in January of 2015, the Garland, Texas attack in May, mm-hmm. the Paris attacks again in November, the San Bernardino attack, and other ones all over the place. They're getting more and more frequent and more common, making us just sort of grow used to this as the new normal.
Okay. Is that what we're going to end up just dealing with, a kind of a normality?
Yes, no doubt. What they want to do is overwhelm the system and destroy the government and law enforcement apparatus by overwhelming mm-hmm. that there'll just be so many terror attacks.
Think that will actually happen here in the U.S.?
Yeah, that's what they're exactly trying to do. It's in the Islamic State manual mm-hmm. that they want to have so many terror attacks the system just collapses, can't keep up with them all.
Mm. And do you don't think there's a point where the government will start instituting new policies to stop this? Or?
I would certainly hope so. It's certainly not going to happen until we get a new president. And even then it might not, as most of the candidates don't seem to be particularly interested in this issue.
Okay, but I mean, putting aside the refugee issue, which seems to be, I mean, seems like we're going to look at that a little more closely. How do you confront it when it comes to Americans, as American Muslims, as, you know, this shooter in San Bernardino was born in the U.S. How do you deal with that?
Right. Well, that's why I say there has to be, I think, programs in American mosques mm-hmm. to teach against this understanding of Islam. And then this young man who was active in his mosque would have heard right. that this path that he wanted to pursue was wrong, and maybe it would have dissuaded him.
But how does it work? Would the government come in and dictate how mosques teach people? I mean, how do you
no,
see
No, I don't think that would be a good idea, because mm-hmm. I don't think the government knows the slightest thing about Islam. The mosques have to institute it themselves, but they have to be transparent, honest, and respectable programs that government people could go in and make sure they're being done. Uh-huh. Absolutely, but not that they're running.
Are there imams that do that, that really, you know, view things the way you do?
No, it's to the best of my knowledge, and I'm confident in this, actually, there's not a single such program anywhere in the United States right now. If there were, we would have heard about it already.
Okay. Your prediction is what? Things are going to get worse then, moving ahead?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no doubt about that. It's because of the denial in the high places and the willful ignorance about this issue, this is going to continue and get worse.
Okay. But when we get attention like this, I mean, does law enforcement not pick up its efforts? I mean, are there no steps that we're taking security-wise to try to stop this?
No, actually not. I mean, the law enforcement is doing a terrific job in monitoring social media and trying to detect attacks mm-hmm. in that way. Obviously, they did not do that with San Bernardino, even though Tashfeen Malik, although it's now being denied, it was reported before that for several years she was on social media exhorting for jihad. And we've heard this kind of thing before. The Garland, Texas shooter, Ibrahim Simpson, he was examined by authorities but then dismissed. They said there were so many guys like him that were calling for jihad on social media. They just couldn't keep up with all of them.
Well, one last thing, Robert. The idea, though, that some say, look, you can't put all Muslims, or certainly American Muslims, in this group. You can't start monitoring mosques, these kinds of things. Is there something un-American or dangerous about doing that?
I don't think so at all. I think that what's un-American and dangerous is that the Council on American Islamic Relations and other groups tell Muslims not to cooperate with authority. If they don't want to be in the same group with the jihadis, then they should be working against the jihadis rather than working against law enforcement efforts.
So they say not to cooperate with law enforcement, period.
Yeah, absolutely. I have pictures of the brochures that they distributed at a conference in Florida with the Statue of Liberty with the shh sign, putting up the finger to her lips and saying, be quiet, don't talk to authorities. This is what they tell Muslims.
Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch. The website is jihadwatch.org. Robert, thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.